Good morning, Ebenezer family and friend. It's just so good to be back with you. And I tell you, just being able to connect on this virtual platform that we can give God some praise. I don't know what you've gone through. Last few days have been pretty busy for me, but we are here. So let's just give them some praise. So just put some emoticon claps in the little chat or wherever you're sitting at or standing. Just praise him and just thank him for his grace for another day. Just want to ask you to be in prayer for the Rudd family. Dr. James Rudd, one of my close friends and preachers of Ebenezer, has went to see Jesus. And we want to just pray for that family, that they be encouraged as they try to pull everything together and in their time of grief. Also, want you to forget about the other bereaved families that have been going through so many losses within the last month or so. But God is so, so good. And that's why, as we've gone in this section of living epistles, we definitely have to walk as God has called us in this season and time. And we thank the Lord that he is the one who shines through us. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that as we get into the message. I want to thank you so much for connecting with ebcnc.com. We try to keep up a material there that can edify us, build us up. This world is dark. There are so many challenges, but I thank God that he's given us a way that we can share together. On Mondays, we have Monday Manna. Tuesday, noonday Bible study, where we're going through excerpts from the book of Genesis. And then on Wednesday at 7 o'clock, a virtual connection, we're going through the book of Luke, which has been a wonderful journey together. On Thursdays, we have an in-person Bible study at 6 o'clock in the EBC Ebenezer Sanctuary, where we're going through the Johns now. And it's been challenging. We've actually been dealing with a hospitality and the believer and just walking out that which is the Lord has put in our hearts. Finally, I want you to continue to pray for our services, our 8:45 and our 10 o'clock in our 10 o'clock online and our 10:45 in-person service. God has just given us so many ways to encourage one another. Thank you for your giving. God loves a cheerful giver. And when I think about how he has blessed us tremendously, it just warms my heart. I was sitting with my wife the other day and we were visiting a certain area and we were just looking out, just thinking about how God has blessed us and how faithful he has been. Well, if you see my background, it's actually an X, Y, and Z axis. And in that, I want you to think about your life. If you add up X plus Y, what does it equal? What is your Z in your life? Because that's what we're really going to examine on a spiritual level as we get into the Word today. So I want you to just focus in as we prepare our hearts. See you soon.
As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God.
Come on.
My soul thirsts for God, mm-hmm. for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, where is your God? The things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throne. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you. From the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar, deep calls to deepen the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By the day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God.
Carry on for Jesus everywhere you go. Let the hope and glory be the seeds you sow. Like a streaming beacon through the darkest night, guiding souls aright. Just carry on for Jesus as you go. Carry on for him while here below. Step by step, though rugged paths are dim, carry on for him. With a heart most kind, each loving gate, our comes a call for within. Christians filled with calm, he would burden artists for the lost today. Just carry on for it. Carry on for Jesus as you go. Carry on for him while here below. Step by step, when rugged parts are dim, carry on for him. Heavenly joys extended richly and complete, where someday true faith those veterans knew will meet. Upward onward, conquering as the sword we win. Oh, by his strength and shield, just carry on for Jesus as you go. Carry
glad that we can carry on with Jesus. Any witnesses out there, just that he will never leave us or forsake us is so, so good. I just want you to just think how blessed you are to have a reasonable portion of your health and strength. I was thinking about that earlier. The old saints used to say that all the time when I was growing up. But as I get older, I'm like, yes, I understand. Just to have health and strength is so important. And we just need to praise the Lord. Just give a hand clap again, a little raise your hands to the Lord. Just thanking him for a reasonable portion of your health and strength. Well, let's get back into our topic that we've been talking about, the life of the believer. The life of the believer, specifically what we should look like while living as a Christian. Really lifting that up, because in this season and time, there is so much that is going on that the world needs to see true Christians that love the Lord with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Let's get into that memory scripture. We have been reading this aloud so we can get down in our spirit, focusing in on 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in that second verse. So if you would read aloud with me, "You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the flesh, that is, of the heart." Wow. God has chosen us through Jesus Christ to literally be walking letters, walking Bibles for him. Before we get into the message today, I just want you to go on a word of prayer with me. And I want you to pray. I want you to ask the Lord to speak to you as he's speaking to me also as we grow together in Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for allowing our connections to work, Father God. Thank you for allowing our spirits to be together in you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone that's viewing and listening that doesn't know you, that today be their day, that they will truly confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher, our guide. Would you please lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. We love you, Lord. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to focus in. This is actually one of my favorite sections of scripture. I love the word of God, but this really speaks to my heart and just my growing process. So let's go to the book of 1 Timothy and focusing in on that chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm telling you, as we get into this 12th verse, and I just led of the Lord walking through it, it's challenging me to just grow more in the Lord. That 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And that is, it's heavy, isn't it? Listen to that again, 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. I want to speak from a title today, Be an Example. Yes, be an example. As said earlier in our introduction, the world needs to see Christians that are real, that are loving the Lord with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And today's lesson, we really get to see a foundation, a basis of being an example through the life of Timothy and also Paul the Apostle. Paul actually writes Timothy, he's a young pastor, and he encourages him to grow in the Lord. And while he's growing in the Lord, to be that example. We can learn from this, whether you are a leader or whether you are someone who follows, whether you're in a certain job or background. All of us, if we are Christian, God is calling us to be an example to others. The time frame is about 62 to 63. Paul writes from the area of Macedonia. Most theologians believe, as he writes to Timothy, who's that representative in that church of Ephesus, the Ephesian area. As we get into this scripture, I want you to think about yourself. I want you to think about where you are with the Lord and also realize that others are looking in. Let me show you 1 Timothy 4:6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. Here's our first point, spiritual nourishment. Spiritual nourishment. In the first part of the chapter, there's a lot that's going on within that church and struggles, doctrinal issues. And so Paul has to deal with that. And Timothy has to understand how can he navigate his way. Timothy has been admonished by Paul the Apostle to teach God's word to the flock, because that is the only way that false doctrine and issues can be uprooted. That's the only way that spiritual nourishment can be given out and that we as believers can grow strong in the Lord. Remember Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the word of God, here it is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That Hebrews 4:13 brings it out even more. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. When we receive spiritual nourishment, it gives us power and authority to walk in these dark days. Any amen? I'm telling you, we gotta eat that word, and it has to be manifested in our lives so that we can be that example. The word of God is our basis. It's our foundation. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture can you put in the chat all scripture? This is critical. Some people are just focusing on one book of the Bible or a piece of the Bible or favorite memory verse, but all scripture. These 66 books are so important to our growth. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for, here it is, doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so we can be an example, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped, here it is, for every good work. The man of God, the woman of God, the child of God, all of us, in order to be equipped, in order to even be an example, that our lives, that X plus Y can equal a Z that's pleasing to God, we must be in His Word. We can listen to the Word, meditate on the Word. It has got to be a part of us. 1 Timothy 4:7 continues on this thought, but reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Look at that, 1 Timothy 4:9. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Here's a point. Please get this. Spiritual exercise. Spiritual exercise. So we've dealt with spiritual nourishment. Now we're dealing with spiritual exercise. I want you to look at this first part as we kind of transition. 1 Timothy 4:7 again. It says, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards ungodliness. These profane and old wives' fables, there were a lot of contextual things that were going on, but I want to make an example. It's kind of like what's going on with the falsities in our social media and on our news, and there's so many strains you can get in, and you're listening to everybody that thinks that they have a truth, but they don't have the real truth. These platforms can be detrimental to our minds. He said, you got to reject those things, but please understand, it's not just in social media, Facebook, and Twitter streams and all of those things. No, it's in our churches too, and we have to be careful that our leaders are focusing in on the Word of God, that we are reading the Word of God, that we're just not taking for granted the things that are coming out of people's mouths, but we're following along and we're allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us and guide us. We've got to stay in the Word of God to be examples, to walk in that truth. Exercise within the scripture is actually broken down to a Greek word that means gymnasium. Yes, gymnasium. Now, all of us go back, for me, my mindset goes back to high school. I remember the gymnasium. I used to play basketball and all the fun times that happened there. But in that gymnasium, there was some work. Theologian McDonald brings out this. Such exercise involves reading and studying the Bible, prayer, meditation, and witnessing to others. So to be an example, we got to go to the gymnasium. We've got to work out spiritually. Reverend John Stock, an English Baptist minister in the 1800s, he wrote this, there is no such thing as drifting into godliness. The stream of tendency is against us. There must be exercise and effort. I want to read that again to you. There is no such thing as drifting into godliness. The stream of tendency is against us. There must be exercise and effort. So many in the physical sense, people that have started out with a New Year's resolution, they're going to exercise, you know, three times a week, or they're going to exercise a certain amount of time a day. So many of them have given up. You know, it's early March. They're like, forget that. And so their issue wasn't with the exercise per se. It was with consistency and setting a priority. Those who are successful, they have accomplished consistency in their life, and also they have set it as a priority. And those who want to win have to put effort towards that which they feel is going to bring the most benefit within their lives. As I make that comparison to physical exercise, the CDC states this: physical activity is anything that gets your body moving. Each week, adults need 150 minutes of moderate intensity physical activity and 2 days of muscle training. And when I added it up, it comes out to be about 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. How much more should we have spiritual exercise? There ought to be some amens or some ouches out there. We need to exercise ourselves spiritually more than we exercise ourselves physically. Well, I hear you. Some of you saying, I don't exercise physically at all, so I'm good. But please understand, if we want to grow the way God wants us to grow and be that example that he wants us to be, you have to dig into the Word. You've got to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. Looking a little close to that 1 Timothy 4:8, that second part, it says, having promise of the life that is now is and of that which is to come. When we exercise our spirit, it is actually taking us into eternity. Do you hear me? When we exercise our spirit, that is taking us into eternity. The same way I've heard so many people said, you know, if I knew I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of my body. Because as you get older, if you haven't taken care of your body, things are going to break down anyway, but it breaks down a lot quicker if you're not in shape and all of these things. Well, the same way with our spirit, God is saying, I want you to be strong. Because your body is going to pass away, but your spirit actually walks into eternity. There ought to be some shouts of praise there. Please, I wanted to put a picture up of what I believe that some spirits look like. The picture is a picture of Gollum. He's actually on the Lord of the Rings. There's a lot of background with him. Some of you remember he used to look at that ring and say, the precious, over and over again. Well, he looks hideous. And I believe some of us can look great on the outside. We can seem like we got it all together, but our spirit man looks like Gollum. Our spirit man is actually going to a point of just breaking down and just looking hideous. And we've got to make sure that we are getting that spiritual nourishment, that spiritual exercise, so that we can be an example of God. Paul even puts double emphasis in 1 Timothy 4:9. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Please hear me with this. The life of the believer is built on spiritual exercise. Lord, put that on my heart. I want to read it to you again. The life of the believer is built on spiritual exercise. I want you to be an example. I need to be an example for the Lord. Paul the Apostle continues to admonish and encourage Timothy in Timothy 4:10. He said, for this end, we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. Here's another point. We trust in the living God. Yes, we trust in the living God. Anybody trust in him? Let me show you this process of being an example and trusting the Lord. We're going to have to go through in trusting in the living God. There are going to be some struggles within our lives. There are going to be some days that we're going to break down. I've had to deal with a death a lot. And just in the past month or so, many people have passed away. And I've been there for the families. And I've seen some strong men and women just break down in tears. It's tough sometimes living this life as a Christian. Hebrews 12:28 lets us know our focus. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. We realize in being an example, it is all about the Lord. It's all about his power. Getting back into that 1 Timothy 4:10, it says, for this end, we both labor. I want to look at this labor because it is effort in this. Labor in the Greek is this word kopieo, which means to work at it to the point of exhaustion as athletes do. Yes, there must be some efforts as we're putting forth to be an example in this life. How focused are you when it comes to being an example for Christ? Please, many of us have been involved with, especially with the ACC tournament and basketball. We understand that so much time is put into people becoming the top athletic person, the one that wants to be the best basketball player, the one that wants to be the best football player. There's so much time that's put in it, and God wants us to really focus on our being examples spiritually, putting time to be in His presence, talking to Him, growing in Him, loving Him. 1 Timothy 4:11 brings this out even further. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Here's a point. Please get this one. The test. Yes. The test. You didn't know there was a test. Yes, there is a test. In the scriptures, I'm going to show you there are some things that we're supposed to exemplify in our lives. Some things that we are supposed to be an example of God in our lives. First one, in word. This word, as we look in the Greek, it's really encompassing our conversation, how we talk. People are listening to what we say. We've got to be very careful in how we communicate to those people on our job, when we're out. Be very careful. You may think that they don't have any authority or power. You may talk down to somebody, but God hears everything that you say, and there's always someone that's listening in. We can either draw them to Christ or we can push them away. The second one Paul the Apostle brings out is he's led of the Holy Spirit. He says in conduct. This actually refers to our entire demeanor, how we carry ourselves in and out. So that whole conversation, that whole thought pattern, conduct. And then he goes on, he says in love. Now this love, it should be our motive. Some people do things, but it's not motivated by love. They're doing things to impress this person or impress other people. But to be an example for a Christian, for God, we do things because we're motivated because God is love. And because He loved, love abides in us, and we want to share that love, that agape love, with the world. And then it says in spirit. This spirit is powerful. A preacher, Guy King, he brings out, he actually translates in spirit as enthusiasm. Yes, enthusiasm. I know I've got some chat typers out there that are quick. Can you just type out enthusiasm, wherever you're sitting at, just say enthusiasm. He goes on to state, spirit or enthusiasm is a quality strangely lacking from the makeup of many Christians. Plenty of enthusiasm for a football match, for an election campaign, but so little of it for the service of God. Ouch. Yes, we need to be enthusiastic about what God is doing in us. We want to be an example. We want to be the ones when Christ is brought up that we go, you know what? I got a testimony. I know what He's done for me. Are there any witness out there that, you know what? When you think about the goodness of Jesus and all that, there should be something that rolls like a wheel in the middle of a wheel. We need to be an example. Paul goes on and tells Timothy also, in faith. This faith is just broken down to be faithfulness, dependability, steadfastness. So often as Christians, because we're not taking in that spiritual nourishment, we're not exercising spiritually, we can fail when it comes to being faithful. People need to see Christians that are faithful. When we give our word, it should be our bond. You remember that some old folks out there, that it wasn't all this contractual things that you had to sign. It was a handshake. When someone gave you a handshake, gave you that word, that meant you can take it to the bank. I'm going to be faithful to that, and even more so for the Christians, because we depend on the living God. And then this final one, the sixth one, purity. Yes, in our thought of patterns. We talked about that motivation should be love. As we walk forth, there should be no deception in our lifestyle. There should be the purity, the washing of God, that we realize if it had not been for God on our side, anybody, that we always realize and we thank God for the salvation that has occurred in us. Look at 1 Timothy 4:13. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Here's the next point. Stay in the word and walk in your gift. Stay in the word and walk in your gift. As we stay in God's word, I'm talking about, I said earlier, all 66 books, we begin to grow, and because we grow, we become an example and we can encourage others. It takes the word of God getting on the inside of us, and we're growing. Remember Gollum, I show you, we don't want our spirit to look like that. We want to be strong in the Lord, and as we're becoming more strong in the Lord, we understand others are being encouraged by our lives. Jesus actually taught this in Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. Can you just scream out light, put in the chat, light of the world? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. There ought to be some shouts of praise. As we are being example for the Lord, the light of God is going to shine in us. Yes, wherever there's darkness and we walk in the room, God's light should be shining in us. Wherever there is discouragement and we walk in the room, people should be encouraged. When we leave that place, it should be better than when we came in, simply because God's presence was there to impact others, because we were example of the goodness of the Lord. We never want to leave the place worse off than when we got there, because Jesus is in us. Anybody know greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world? There ought to be some praises thanking God for the power of him residing on the inside, that we can be an example. Peter talks about what happens when we actually stay in the word and we walk in our gift. 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things at hand, it is coming. I believe that God's coming back soon. I don't know when it's going to be, this year or 15 years or 30 years down the road, but I'm seeing so many imminent things take place. It says, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sin. There ought to be some thanksgiving out there for that. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. We've been talking about the gifting of God, walking in it, being an example with hospitality in our Thursday Bible study, as Gaius was encouraged in his hospitality. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Be an example in everything that we do. God has left us here that we can show forth his power in our lives. Yes, that's the why you're here. Please, it is not just to retire. It's not just to live in your retirement or get a new car or find a house. All of that thing, please understand, God is a wonderful provider, but we are here that more souls can be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth, that our lives can be an example. And when God has finished with us, guess what? He will call us home. Look at these final scriptures of the day as we pull it all together. 1 Timothy 4:15-16. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. I love this final point. Please get it. Finish strong. Can you put that in the chat? Wherever you are sitting at or standing at this point, just say, Finish strong. Finish strong. This is something that is not just done on Sundays. We just don't finish strong on Sunday. Every day we're supposed to be finishing strong until we cross the finish line and we can hear our Savior say, well done. 1 Corinthians 9:24 talks about this. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. This is a race and we're pushing through. There's sometimes that we slow down. There's sometimes that we need to take a drink, but please understand it's a race and we're going to that finish line, and that righteous judge is there. 1 Corinthians 9:25, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Yes, yes, there are rewards in walking in Christ and being an example for him. 1 Corinthians 9:26, therefore I run thus not with uncertainty. Paul says, thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Be an example. I want to be an example, and I got to make sure that my body stays in shape. I'm talking about my physical, but most importantly, my spiritual body, that it can be an example, that I don't trip up somebody else, that I can encourage them. Paul actually being used of God gives us another example in 2 Timothy 4:6 of his own life. Paul said, you know what? I want to finish strong. I want to make sure when I come across that finish line that people know that my life was about Jesus. He says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. Can you put in the chat, say, good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I'll be honest, there's some movies that I love. You know, I'm a Rocky enthusiast. And since they come out with Creed, that movie is coming out now. I love a good boxing match that's put on the cinematography. And with Rocky, I just always know who's going to win at the end. But in this, please understand, we know who's going to win in the end because we got Jesus on our side. Fight the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there's later for me the crown of righteousness. There he is, the Lord, the righteous judge will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Are there any folks out there that are looking forward to his appearance? I'm telling you, our ultimate example, you know his name, is Jesus, the one that came from heaven to earth, walked among men. He is that example of loving people. He is that example of healing people. He is that example of teaching people. He is that example that went to the cross of Calvary, taking nails in his hands and nails in his feet, carrying our griefs and bearing our pains, crying out to the Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He died on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave, but 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory. He is our example. Yes, and even now, he's seated on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, praying for us as our example, that we can be an example to a dying world. Again, that souls can come in and cry out to the living God. I want what they got. I see, God, how you transform that person's life. I work with them. I see them from day in and day out. Some of them know me, others don't, but I see a change. They have been an example of you. I want that in my life. Saints, I encourage you. This is our season. That we grow in the Lord, that we become those living epistles, that we are really looking at our lives and exemplifying who Christ is. For he has given us the Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside. If you don't know him today, I pray that today you'll cry out to him. He's the only one that can make you an example for him. Yes, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and said you will be saved. It's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Would you ask him into your heart? I'm telling you, you will never be the same. For the saints out there, there's so much, as I've gone through those points, that we need to tune up. We need to pray more. We need to read the word more. We need to worship. We need to seek the Lord more. In the season of darkness, as we see our Savior steadily approaching, coming back on a cloud where every eye can see him, he has left us here to be an example. Let's pray. Let's pray together that God will use us in a magnificent way in these last days, that more people may know who Jesus is. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for being so specific to your word as you use Paul the Apostle to encourage Timothy. Lord, I thank you for the word that encourages us. Lord, you have given us so much grace and tremendous mercy in our lives. Help us to walk more like you. Father, we want to be an example for you. Please forgive us of our sins, for the times that we fail, for the times that we've just kind of sat on the sideline, Lord, and we didn't give it our all. But we understand we need to get in the gymnasium. We need to work out spiritually, Lord, that we can be strong and we can be used in times like this. Lord, I thank you for the souls that you're saving and bringing to the knowledge of the truth of you. And we thank you for the body of Christ, Lord. Thank you for souls that love you, that we're like iron sharpening iron as we grow together as your sons and daughters. Lord, we magnify you. Father, thank you again for making us an example of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
My Savior bleed and did my sovereign die. Would he devote that sacred head for such a cross, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart roll away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I all the day.
At the cross, at the cross. I thank the Lord for all that he did for us at Calvary, and also all that he is doing for us right now, praying for us. That is such good news. Thank you for desiring to take communion with us, whether you're on vacation or maybe got an illness that's going on that's not allowing you to get to the physical fellowship. We can connect and we can take communion together. It says, as often as we do this, we do it in remembrance of him. So I encourage you right now, you can go get your articles, get you some bread and some juice. You can take it with us. Or if you have these communion cups that you got from church, go ahead and get those and prepare yourself. If you need some time, you can always push pause and come back. As we're preparing ourselves, I want us to look at our hearts. Allow God to help us to see ourselves. If there's anything that we're holding against anybody, let it go. I do. Bianca and I, we good. We take communion a lot. And I'm like, I want to make sure we're good, that we're not, she doesn't have anything or I don't have anything, so that we can take this in the right manner and we can really think about what Jesus has done for us. So before we go any further, I'm just going to ask Bianca to pray. We want to bless the bread and bless the juice, but also just to welcome God as he ministers to your heart. He's ministering to our hearts as we're right here in our home, just lifting up Christ, that he will be supreme over everything. So, Bianca.
Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you for your wonderful gift of Jesus Christ. We thank you for his sacrifice on the cross for our sins, Lord. Not that he had any sin at all, but he did what he did for us, for because of your love for us, Lord. And we praise you and thank you for that. And we just ask that you would bless this bread and bless this juice that we would take now in remembrance of the sacrifice of your son, Jesus. I ask that you would bless it and sanctify it and help us to take it in a worthy manner, that we might give your name glory for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. The scriptures are so important. We just talked about that, right? Being an example. And as we get into the Bible today, this portion during communion, often quoted, I just want you to really think about it. That 1 Corinthians 11:23, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's coming.'" Do you realize that he is coming back? So today, I really want us to focus on, as we're striving to live our lives as an example of who Christ is. Jesus went into that upper room with his disciples and he got the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This represents my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat, do it in remembrance of him." Let's eat together. As you're chewing on that, do you realize his body was beaten and bludgeoned and bruised for us? As the disciples are becoming aware of the seriousness of the moment, he picks up the goblet, which is shared by all, and he says, "This represents my blood, the color." We can see that. "That will be shared for you on Calvary. That has been shared for us. As often as we drink, let's do it in remembrance of him. Let us drink together." At the cross, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day just thinking of what Christ has done for us. Well, I encourage you, as we remember Christ on a daily basis, as we grow in him, as we become that example of who he is, that you truly, truly stay in a place of spiritual nourishment and strength, because the world, I said it so often today, the world needs to see true Christians that are being an example of Jesus. Thank God. Thank Him for His Son and all that He's done for us. Well, until we meet again, you be blessed.